The Lord's table, in fact, invites us to look backwards to the cross. And it invites us to look inward to our heart. And it invites us really to look outward to the world, and at the end of the day, it invites us to look forward to the return of Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back. So let me ask you this question this morning. Have you ever kept something because it reminded you of someone that you loved? Maybe it was an old photograph. Maybe it was a wedding ring. Maybe it was a letter. Maybe it was a military medal. Or maybe it was a flag that you have on your mantle that is in recognition of a loved one that served his country or her country and has since gone on. Listen, those articles aren't valuable because of what they're made of. They're valuable because of what they remind us of. Jesus knew that we were going to need something of a constant reminder of His sacrifice. See, God's people have always had a need of something to be a reminder of what the Lord has done all throughout history. If you read the Bible, you'll find where the children of Israel stacked up stones to be a reminder. What are those for? Well, when your children come by one day and ask about that, you can tell them that this is what happened in that. It's something of a memorial, and that's what the Lord's table is. It's something of a memorial that says, hey, remember me. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Father, I pray this morning, as we look into your word, I pray, God, that you would let your anointing once again reside in this place, on me to preach, on your people to receive your word and to be changed and transformed. God, help me to be transformed as well. Help me to remember the price that was paid, all that you have done. Help each one watching this morning by way of the internet, God, that they would recognize that you are the one true God. And so, Lord, I thank you for it, and I give you in advance all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So just as a point of reference before we get to our main text, I want to just share with you Joshua chapter 4 and the first 7 verses, because it talks about one of these piles of stones. This is what he says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you will take up a stone on his shoulder. Listen, if you're packing a stone that is big enough to fit on your shoulder, that's a pretty good stone. Amen. I mean, we're not talking about a pocket pebble here. We're talking about a significant chunk of rock. Take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? And you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Listen, it's just a pile of rocks, but it signifies a miracle that God did. A miracle that God did on behalf of the children of Israel. And when we look at the table before us this morning, it's not just a grape juice and a bit of a wafer. He says, remember what it represents. And what it represents is the goodness of God. What it represents is the price that was paid to redeem you and I. Listen, you're not cheap. This working still? If you're online, just wave at us, because it's not cheap. Your salvation was not cheap. It came at a great price. And this heap of 12 stones was a reminder of what God has done for His people. And the Jews were great believers in teaching the next generation about Jehovah and about His special relationship to the people. You can go back and read chapter 4 and verse 6. You can read verse 21. You can go to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 26. You can go to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 14. You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 20, all of these references are references of memorials that have been erected for the reminder of the people of what God has done for His children. And so to an unbeliever, this heap of 12 stones was just simply another pile of rocks. And to the common person, these elements that are before us today is just a little bit of Welch's grape juice and a very stale, very flat, very non-flavored, it's not like you're eating an Oreo or a Snickerdoodle. I mean, it isn't even as good as a plain old saltine cracker. At least a saltine has a little flavor. This is just plain. Nothing fantastic. And to the world, that's really all it is. But to a believing Israelite, this pile of rocks was a constant reminder that Jehovah was God. And then He's working wonders on behalf of His people. Now, if you would, turn with me to our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read it every month when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's at chapter 11, verse 23. We're going to read through verse 27, and when you're there, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. First Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. This is what it says: For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, Father God, I need Your help this morning. I need Your touch. Lord, help me to communicate clearly what this is talking about and what these elements represent. Father, I pray this morning for every person in this room, every person watching by way of the internet, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would do a fantastic work, Lord, revealing to us the truth and the power of Your Word. And I thank You for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. So this happened on the night that Jesus was betrayed. How many of you have ever been betrayed? How'd you feel on that night? Betrayed. Great pain. All those kinds of things. This was on the night that He was betrayed. It wasn't after the resurrection. It wasn't even after Pentecost. And while the shadow of the cross was already falling over Him, He gathers His disciples around this table. See, church, the Lord's Supper is way more than tradition. And oftentimes I think we have reduced it to something of tradition. I mean, it's in all of our literature, it's in all of our bulletins, it's on the screens. Third Sunday of every month, we're going to have communion. People come to church because it's Communion Sunday. We ought to come to church because Jesus is here. We ought to come to church because I want to fellowship with my brothers and my sisters, not just because it's Communion Sunday, maybe because it's Baptism Sunday, maybe whatever. But we break it down, we reduce it down to tradition. It's a sermon that is preached without words. I would imagine that almost every one of you, when you came in here this morning and saw these containers on this and this beautiful table brought forth, I'm pretty sure most every one of you knew exactly what those represent. It's your mind automatically probably begins to think about, it's Communion Sunday. It's what Jesus did. It's a sermon that's preached without words. And in verses 23 through 25, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Do it and remember what I've done. It says, look back. Look back at the cross. Look back at what Christ has done. Remember the sacrifice. Remember the stripes that Jesus bore. Remember the crown of thorns. Remember that they slapped him and they spit on him and they jerked out his beard and they did all those. They offered him sour wine. They mocked him. They cast lots for his clothing. They suspended him naked on the cross before all humanity, doing everything they could to humiliate the King of Kings. It's way more than tradition. And like the piles of rock to the children of Israel, the Lord's Supper points us to Calvary. The Lord's Supper points us to the cross. The bread reminds us that his body was broken, his body was beaten. He was crowned with a crown of thorns. He was pierced. He was broken for each one of us. These elements before us this morning is way more than just grape juice and a wafer. It's what it represents, like that flag on the mantle, like the letter that you're hanging on to, like whatever it is, the photograph. The cup reminds us that his blood purchased our forgiveness. His blood purchased our salvation. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We sing songs all the time about the blood of Jesus that is spilled on Calvary. That's nonsense. Church, I'm here to tell you the blood wasn't spilt on accident. If I knock this over and spill it accidentally, which you've seen me do from time to time, that's an accident. If I just slap it and it goes all over, that's deliberate. Jesus shed his blood deliberately for you and I because he well knew that without the shedding of that blood, there is no remission of sin. And his blood was shed once for all. Once for all. His blood purchased forgiveness and salvation. His blood established not only forgiveness and salvation, but through his blood, he established a new and a better covenant, the Bible said. His blood says grace instead of judgment. How many of you are grateful for that this morning? Let me take you back. I want you to remember that the communion reminds us to never forget the price that was paid to redeem you. For God so loved the world that He gave not one of His sons, His only Son, to die in your place and mine. Ooh. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 3 through 6 says, He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He's despised, and we did not esteem Him. Surely He has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Every wafer you hold in your hand this morning whispers, He did this for you. He did this for you. He did this for me. The stripes that He bore was for my healing. The blood that He shed was for my redemption. Verse 27, we are reminded to take a look inward. He says to examine your heart. Communion is not to be seen again as some ritual. It's an act of worship. It is an act of worship. And let me be clear, to partake unworthily isn't about, it's not talking about imperfect people. If that was the case, if only perfect people could take communion, we wouldn't have this even set up this morning. It's talking about approaching casually. We don't come to this table in a casual manner. We don't harbor unconfessed sin. Lord, we ask You to forgive us of every sin. We ask You to forgive us of every bitterness, every ounce of hypocrisy and pride and indifference toward Christ. That's what it's talking about in an unworthy manner. Search my heart, David said. Know my heart. Try me. See, it's like showing up to a wedding while you're texting on your phone while the bride's walking down the aisle. You're there, but you're missing the show. You're missing the main event. See, the problem isn't about your attendance, it's your heart. That's why we talk about, prepare your heart for this table. Search my heart, Lord. Communion calls us to confession, not perfection. Confession. And again, Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxiety, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That ought to be every one of our prayer. Especially as we face this table. And it really kind of begs the question, is there some sin that I need to confess? Is there someone I need to forgive? Church, we need to look around and we need to remember that we are one body. We are one body. We have one Savior. He's coming back for one church. He's not coming back for this church or the one down the street or the one across town or the one upstate. He's coming back for His church. He's coming back for His church. When Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church, it was a church that was divided. Some ate, others went hungry. Some were rich, others were poor. But they all came to one table. Isn't that amazing? And really, it points to the reality that at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. Jew and Gentile are alike. Don't miss this morning what communion reminds us of. Because in reality, no one earns grace. Everyone receives grace. No one earns it. You can't earn your salvation. You receive your salvation. It's like being at a family reunion. Anybody ever been to a family reunion? It's like being at a family reunion where we might disagree about politics. We might disagree about sports or maybe even TV personalities. But when grandma rings the dinner bell, everybody comes to one table. Hello. The Lord has gathered people from every background into one family. Listen, there's not going to be a Pentecostal area in heaven. There's not going to be a Baptist area over here in heaven. There's not going to be a Methodist area over there in heaven. We're going to be the church. We're going to be one family. We're going to come together as one. He has gathered people from every background into one family, and we are challenged to look forward in anticipation of His return. 1 Corinthians 11 and 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Until He comes. It's a clue. He's coming. It's a clue. I mean, it's not really that much of a clue. It's really more of a declaration. It's really more of an admission, of a statement. Hey, I'm coming. I'm coming. Communion isn't a funeral. Communion isn't a funeral, and the truth of the matter is, the cross is not a tragedy. It's a triumph. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. Jesus purchased yours and mine salvation. And listen, that salvation, come on. Your salvation is not based on your performance. It's based on His performance. What He accomplished. What He did for you and I. Communion's not a funeral, it's a promise. It's a promise. It's a reminder that by His stripes, Bob, we are healed. By His blood, Evan, I'm washed clean. And by His own admission, He said, do this and remember until He comes. Communion's not a funeral, it's a promise. I'm coming back. I'm going to return and I'm going to receive my people unto me. It's a promise that He's coming back. Every communion service says this: the cross happened. It happened. But you know what else it says? Let me tell you what else it says. It says that the tomb is empty. It says that the tomb is empty. It says that the King is coming. He's coming. Maybe morning, noon, or night. Maybe right now, come Lord Jesus. Like every deployed soldier promises, I'll be home. Every deployed soldier says, I'll be home. The family marks the days. They count them off. Every meal reminds them that someone is coming back because someone's missing from the table. Revelation chapter 19 tells of another supper. If you know your Bible, you know what it's talking about. One day at the Lord's table will give way to the marriage supper of the Lamb. People from every kindred, every tongue, every tribe are going to be around that table. And I want to remind you that at the end of this verse is until He comes, which tells us that we should be looking up. We should be looking up. Church, we need to receive His grace. We need to receive His grace. Because it's not about what we've done. It's about what He's done. It's about what he's done. Remember this. Jesus welcomed Peter, even though he knew that Peter would deny him. Would you believe that Jesus went so far as to welcome Thomas, who one day very soon would doubt him? Even the other disciples Jesus welcomed, and they would later flee and leave him, abandoned. And yet Jesus welcomed them. And truth be told, there was one amongst them Jesus handpicked, put him amongst the 12. You can read through the scripture all you want. You can tear it apart all you want. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus didn't love John any more or any less than he loved Judas. And he knew that when he picked him, he knew that one day Judas was going to be that guy. And how many of us have betrayed him just like that? How many of us have made promises to the Lord and yet didn't hold up our end of the bargain? He welcomed Judas. He never treated Judas any different than he did the other disciples. He offered grace, but he rejected it. I believe with all of my heart that Judas could have been just as saved as Peter. But he couldn't see past what he had done. And he went out and killed himself. Today, the invitation remains. Sin is still being washed away and grace is still being forgiven. The question then becomes, how will I respond to this great grace? How will I respond to the blood of Jesus? How will I respond to this table? Let me just be very clear this morning. If you've never trusted in Christ, this communion table won't save you. Only Jesus can save you. The bread cannot forgive sin. The cup will not wash away guilt. Only the blood of Jesus cleanses the sinner. That's when this table becomes relevant in your life. When you have Jesus in your heart, when you have confessed your sin to the Lord, when you said, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart, cleanse me. Before we go any further this morning, I just want to put this plea out. Because it's not God's will that any one of us would miss out on an opportunity at this table this morning. And so if you'd just do me the kind favor of bowing your heads this morning. Would you just begin to pray quietly? Would you just search your heart like David said? And let me ask you this, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never accepted Him, can I tell you that Jesus wants to save you? He wants you to receive His salvation. So this morning, he's talking to you, I know, by His Holy Spirit, and He's saying, would you just invite me in? If you'll just invite me in, I'll come in. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. That's what's happening right now. Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. He won't kick the door down. He won't take a battering ram and break it down. He will stand there and wait patiently for you to open the door and let Him in. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and say, yes, I need prayer. I need to receive Jesus. If that's you anywhere in this place, anywhere at all, anybody at all, maybe online this morning, you're watching and your hand's in the air. Maybe you're here today and life got it in the way. Life happened, stuff happened. This morning you feel like you're a million miles away from where the Lord wants you to be in His relationship with you. And today you say, you know, Lord, I want to rededicate and recommit my life to You. I want to serve You wholeheartedly from here on. Lord, if You'd just forgive me, if You'd just restore me and redeem me one more time. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. I see your hand. You can put it down. Anybody else, say, preacher, that's me. Anybody else? Listen. I'm going to ask you to do something probably uncomfortable, but if you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to come right here to the front, because I want to pray with you personally right here before God and everybody. If you raised your hand, I want to ask you to come. I know it's not easy, but I want you to come. Come on. Stretch your hand this way, church. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You never give up on me. That, Lord, You've seen everything I've gone through and everything that I will face. But I need You in my life to direct me, to guide me, every step of the way. Forgive me, help me, fill me with Your Holy Spirit, that I can walk with You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 He knows. He knows it all. He knows it all. Good job, kid. Amen. 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 Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Wow. Somebody want to let the children's church know? Pardon me? She has had a lot of people praying for her, yes. Thank God. Well, let's celebrate this table this morning. But let's let it be a reminder today of what God, through His Son, has done for every one of us. We've been redeemed. We've been made whole. All because of Jesus. Amen? Who's our servers today? Come on, Matthew. gladly these. I'll give them for you. Maybe have I.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
If you just want to make your way to the center, let Matt and Iris serve you this morning. If you'll just hold on to those elements until everybody's been served, we will partake together.
Was blind, but now I see. Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, an ending love. Amazing,
my chains are gone, my chains are gone.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we remember your word. We remember the sacrifice that you made. We remember the cross. We look back deliberately, Lord, as we hold this in our hand. God, we recognize that you bore the stripes for our healing, that you were nailed to an old rugged cross, Lord, that you died and defeated death, hell, and the grave. Lord, we remember that today. Lord, this morning as we partake of this element, I pray, Lord, that healing would become very real in our lives. Lord, all of those that we lifted to you prior to this service today, God, would you just heal them? Set them free, God? Even those that are here that we haven't even really been praying for, but they need your touch, Lord, we thank you for that. God, bring healing. Bring salvation in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes as snow. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Lord, I thank you today that when you were on the cross, we were on your mind. That as your blood poured out of your bruised, battered, beaten, pierced body, you're thinking about a bunch of people in Myrtle Creek, Oregon, and literally all around the world, that without the shedding of your blood, there would be no remission of sin. But you said, here am I, Father, send me. And you went to the cross on our behalf, and you took our place. You willingly became our sacrifice. And so this morning, we don't merely take the bread and the cup, but Lord, we pray that you would let the bread remind us of your body that was given for each one of us. And let this cup remind us of your blood that was shed for each one of us. Let's drink together. May our hearts be humbled by your grace. May we be strengthened by his presence. And may we be united with his people and filled with hope for his return. And until he comes, we remember. And in our remembering, we worship. And may you always remember that these elements are God's gracious reminder of the greatest act of love through history. Amen. Can we just worship the Lord just for a minute, Kathy?
Yeah. Oh, the blood
of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Oh, the blood.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh,
the blood of Jesus.
It washes white as snow.
My chains are gone.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
And like a flood,
his mercy reigns.
Unending love, amazing grace.
Now, Father, as we conclude this service today, I pray, God, that we would go out of here with a renewed assurance, Lord, of all that you have done for us and all that you continue to do for us, O God. And Lord, I pray that we would have a great rest of the day. I pray you do bring your church back together tonight at 6 o'clock. God, I pray you go with each and every one. I pray you reveal yourself to us in ways we never expected. And Father, I just thank you for it. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining us this morning by way of the internet. God bless you. God go with you. We'll see you soon.
Good night. My chains are gone.